Okay? Okay? And I want you to subtract that number from the top number. Just remember, if you mess this up, the whole thing's ruined if you don't subtract or add correctly. Okay. And now I want you to reverse that number underneath it. Okay? Okay, and now add that number.
That's right. You can't question the math.
I'm questioning that math.
Don't question the math. You want to, I didn't.
Yeah. Correct it.
Can I rewrite it?
Yes, you can rewrite it. 974 minus 479. Thomas, can you give me the answer? Now reverse it. Now add it. One, zero, eight, nine. Now that's correct. So you want to open the envelope? See, you think it's in the envelope? No. Thomas says it's not. Okay, open it for us and show everybody what the number is. I glued it too tight. Now go up front and show it everybody when you get the number. Okay. Thank you. All right. Very good. Have a seat. Thank you for your help. What I want to talk about here this morning is that God knows. You know, I knew what that number is, and it's a little trick, and it's going to come out. You know, when I first did the trick, it's supposed to always come out with the one particular answer, no matter what you did. Except I did it in San Antonio, and guess what? In front of everyone, it did not work out. No, I did not. It was all random. Okay? Except Glenda. Glenda helped me out and make sure that it didn't fail. Because we found out there was a flaw. And sometimes what it is, even our best laid plans, and see, Thomas is figuring out what the flaw is. But sometimes we think we know so many things, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But this morning I want to talk about that God knows. And I want us to look at three examples in Scripture about some people who didn't make good choices, okay? And the first one I want us to see here this morning is found in Acts chapter 5 and verses 1 through 10. Let's turn there. Acts 5, and let me read this one to you. Acts 5, verses 1 through 10. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property with his wife's full knowledge. He kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Then Ananias heard this, and he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped his body, carried him out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." And at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. I want us to see here through these examples some mistakes. And don't get too nervous. There's 10 of them. We're going to go through them very quickly. Here's mistake number one. We're going to learn these from Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't see, number one, they did not see that sin is an action against God. Look at verse 3. Verse 3, it says, "You have lied to the Holy Spirit." They didn't understand that what they were doing was against God, and God took a lie. I still remember at camp when we had to do dramas at camp when it went to Lake Arthur, and people, everybody wanted this particular story because it's kind of big, right? I mean, we think about it, you know, want to be all those different people, and this part, they just die, and then you drag them out. I mean, that was a fun story to do. But in reality, that's not a fun story, is it? They made a mistake that they didn't realize what they were doing. They weren't just lying to Peter or lying to the apostles. They were lying to God himself. And one of the mistakes we can get into is that we don't realize who our sin is against. Our sin is not against people. We can deceive people. Our sin is against God. Here's mistake number two. They didn't realize the price of sin. Verse 5, Ananias fell down and died. Sin. James 1:15 says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The Message translation puts it this way. I like it. It said, lust becomes pregnant and had a baby. Sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. And sin is that's the price. That is the price of sin. They didn't realize that there was a price to be paid. And they gave their own lives for that. How about mistake number three? They thought God wouldn't know about their sin. I want us to go over to Psalm 139. I want to read a passage from there. Psalm 139. Starting in verse 7. Psalm 139, starting in verse 7, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the air, I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is light to you." It says they thought they just thought that God would not know about their sin, and God knows everything. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 says, "For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." And I think their mistake is they didn't realize that God knew everything. And they thought they were going to be able to pull something. And in our own lives, sometimes I think we forget that God knows everything. We forget in our lives that there is a price for sin. You know, sometimes we just think we can do what we want. We are free people. We can do whatever we want, however we want. But we realize from this story of Ananias and Sapphira, the mistakes they made. And sometimes we make those same mistakes in our own lives, right? We make those mistakes that we don't realize the price of sin. We don't realize that our actions are against God himself. And we forget that God knows everything. And the fourth mistake, and the last one we're going to see in Ananias and Sapphira here today, is this one. They didn't know to agree with sin was just as bad as committing it. When Sapphira showed up, she could have told the truth. She could have easily told the truth. But what did she decide to do? She decided to keep going with the story that her husband and her had conspired. The money was theirs. The sin was not in that they decided to keep the money or keep part of the money. The money was theirs to do with what they wanted to do with it. Their sin was they decided to lie to God. They decided to try to deceive God himself. Let's look at our next couple. That was our first couple, Ananias and Sapphira. Do I have a volunteer? Who hadn't came up here yet? Okay, come on up. I want you to give everybody a hint. Pick that up. You can eat that. You can have a bite out of it. Who's our next? Who do you think our next couple is? Huh? Adam and Eve. You can have that. I don't want it back. Adam and Eve. Okay. Let's look at their mistake. I mean, we can look at that. We're not going to read the two chapters that I have referenced here, but Genesis chapter 2 and 3 tells the story of Adam and Eve. Let's look at some mistakes. A lot of us know Adam and Eve pretty well, this story. How about this mistake? Number 5, Adam and Eve didn't believe the penalties of sin would affect them. See, God had told them what? But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Think about it. Had they ever seen death? They hadn't seen death. Nothing around them had died. So what does that really mean? They didn't know what it really was, and they didn't give it the respect that they should have because they didn't really understand it in their minds. The same is true today. It is very clear that those who do not accept Jesus Christ will go to hell. The serpent told Adam and Eve, "You won't die." Even though God told you that you would die, he says, you won't die. I'm telling you, you won't. Today he tells you, you won't get pregnant. He tells us you won't get AIDS. Your parents won't find out. It's not going to hurt you. You can do whatever you want. He's telling the same lie to us today. That don't worry about the penalties. God's only trying to keep the best away from you. You can have so much fun if you will just do this. And he's trying to lead us into hell. He wants to take us to the exact same place he's headed. How about mistake number 6? They believe that they could be near a place of sin and not give in to temptation. They believe that they could be close to the temptation. So why were they at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why didn't they hang out at the tree of life? Why did they go to that tree? Where was the serpent? The temptation at the tree. Was he at the tree of life? No. He was at the place that God told them not to go near. Proverbs 6, 27 and 29 says this. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. See, our problem is we like to hang around where sin is. If we have a failure in our lives in some place that gives us trouble, we end up hanging out at that place. Adam and Eve's mistake is the same mistake a lot of us make as well, is that we were trying to be near sin, try to be as close to sin as we possibly can. You know, we look at our lives and say, this is the Christian life, and this is the line to the sinful life. Where do we want to hang out? We don't want to hang out way back here, deep inside of the Christian life. We like to hang out right here, you know, at the edge, because there's fun, you know. We think there's fun in life, and all my friends and all the other people are doing this. We want to be a part of that. See, Adam and Eve were hanging out in the wrong place. And we can hang out at the wrong place. We need to get away from those places of sin. Mistake number 7. They blamed others for their mistake. Of course, we all know that, right? He made me do this. He didn't start passing the buck. Sin always wants to point a finger. Adam said, it's her fault. And he really was saying, God, it's your fault. You gave me this woman. This is the woman you gave me, and she made me sin. And then Eve said, it wasn't me, it was the serpent. How many times are we guilty of blaming others for our own mistakes? They blamed others for their mistakes. That's a mistake we make. We need to own up to our shortcomings and our failures and stop blaming others. We make those decisions. Adam and Eve, they both made that decision. You know, I still remember studying this story as a kid, and it never dawned on me at the time that Adam was with Eve. You know, it says she took and gave it to Adam, who was with her. You know, he stood there, and he allowed her to take it. He allowed her to eat it, and then he partook in it too, you know. And so we need to stay away from sin, and we need to stop blaming others for our mistakes. Number 8, And this is this. It says, Adam's mistake was that he chose not to obey his father. See, Adam received his instruction from God, from her husband. See, if he had simply obeyed his dad, he would never have gotten himself into the mess he'd gotten himself. How many times have we found ourselves in difficult situations because we didn't listen to the advice of our parents? We said, we know more, they don't know, life's different now. But we need to listen to our parents, and we need to listen to our Heavenly Father. Their mistake is they didn't listen to what their father said, and it cost them their lives. The third group, and our final group here today, I want us to look at. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And this is the story of our last couple is David and Bathsheba. Well, you want to be Bathsheba? Is that what you're saying? Okay. David and Bathsheba. Let's look at them. You remember the story. The story is, you know, David was there, and he went up on top of the palace, and he looked down, and there was a beautiful woman taking a bath. And he watched, and then he decided he wanted to get to know her. He wanted to know who that was, and he found out who she was. And once he found out what she was, he wanted to see her, and he goes and gets her and brings her to his palace, and then they land up sleeping together. And then find out, next thing you know, she's pregnant. And then David decides, got to get rid of the guilt for me. So he blames someone, so that the blame can go on someone else. Hey, her husband, just bring him back from war. Brings the husband back from war. He will not disobey God, and that he would not go to his wife while his fellow men are on the battlefield. So David finally concocts the plan, and the plan was ascending back to the battlefield and have him killed. And so David does that. So let's look at the mistakes that we see in this story of David and Bathsheba. How about this one? Mistake number 9, they tried to cover one sin with another. David's original sin led him to having another man killed and attempt to cover up the first. Sin and sin and trouble just gets deeper and deeper the further they go. So that's what David did. He just kept trying to cover up. So once you're guilty of one, if you're not willing to own up to that sin, you create a new one, and you keep going, and you keep going. And I'm assuming David, once he got rid of her husband, thought everything's great. You know, all is in the clear. And once he realized he had sinned, he needed to stop and remedy the situation, but he didn't. And we're going to eventually see that the remedy really comes is that God makes David come face to face with his sin. He sends a prophet to tell a little parable, and David becomes outraged on that parable. Y'all remember the parable, right? Tells him this: a rich man had many sheep. There was going to throw a big party, and he wanted to butcher a sheep. And the prophet told him, says, well, he saw his poor neighbor next door, and he had a sheep, one little sheep. He went and took the sheep, slaughtered it, fed. Well, David was outraged. How that person needs to die. I mean, he was outraged. You need to take that person, and immediately he should not. That was the most horrible thing you could have done. And then Nathan looks at him and says, you are that man. David came face to face with his sin. And he tried to cover it up. But remember from our previous mistakes that God knows. We can't hide anything from God. Let's look at our very last one I want us to see today. And David thought it would only affect him and wouldn't hurt anyone else. You know, Nathan comes to him and he confronts him. And there are some penalties for his sin, some outcomes. Number one, it ruined a marriage. I mean, he killed someone. He took the man's life, probably never knowing what had happened. And it cost David the life of his newborn child. And David mourned greatly for that child. But a lot of times we make the mistake of thinking that our sin is only between us, us and God, and no one knows, and it won't affect anyone else. But a lot of times our sin affects everyone that's around us. Sometimes we think we're hiding it, but it affects others. It affects our children. It affects our friends. It affects other people. See, we are supposed not to be dumb, but we need to live by the Word. See, God wants us to be more like some other people in the Bible. How about Joshua and Caleb? That'd be good ones to emulate, right? I mean, they stood firm. They stood for God. They would not compromise, even when the crowds, the larger group, wanted them to. How about Paul and Silas as they go around evangelizing the world? Peter and John. These are people we are to emulate. We need to learn the lessons we can from these lives that were in sin, but we also need to emulate some lives that really matter. Let's not allow the enemy to trick us into making stupid mistakes. You know, there's a story told in shortly in 1914, not long after the sinking of the Titanic, Congress convened a hearing to discern what happened to another ship accident. It was a tragedy. In January of that year, in a thick fog off the Virginia coast, the steamship Monroe was rammed by a merchant vessel, Nantucket, and eventually sank. 41 sailors lost their lives in the frigid water, winter waters of the Atlantic. While it was Captain Barry of the Nantucket who was arraigned on charges, in the course of the trial, Captain Edward Johnson was grilled on the stand for over 5 hours. During cross-examination, it was learned, as the New York Times reported, that Captain Johnson navigated the Monroe with a steering compass that deviated as much as 2 degrees from the standard magnetic compass. He said the instrument was sufficiently true to run the ship, and that it was the custom of masters in the coastwise trade to use such a compass. His steering compass had never been adjusted in the 1 year that he was the master of the Monroe. The faulty compass that seemed adequate for navigation eventually proved otherwise. This realization partly explains a heartwarming picture recorded by the New York Times. Later, the two captains met, clasped hands, sobbed on each other's shoulders. The sobs of those two burly seamen are a moving reminder of the tragic consequences of misorientation. The reminder for us is this: the heart is like a compass. Then we need to regularly calibrate our hearts, turning them to be directed to the Creator, our magnetic north. You know, we went through a vacation Bible school teaching the kids about our Creator and about following our Creator, but it comes down to choices, right? We have choices to make. We can choose to be like these three couples, these three groups that we talked about here today, or we can choose to follow good examples. Good examples recorded in Scripture that we can set our compass to our true north, and we calibrate that and we make good choices. This morning we're going to have a song of decision. Our song this morning is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I think if we turn our eyes upon Jesus, we focus on His example, we focus on being like Jesus, then we are truly going to set our compass on the true north, and we're also going to start making really good decisions, ones that are going to have eternal consequences. Maybe the decision you need to make this morning is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Turn your life over to Him. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe there's others here this morning that need to just make some recalibrations. Maybe make some changes to our life. Maybe we need to just rededicate our lives here this morning and get the sinful attitudes and sinful behaviors in our life out of our lives. Maybe that's the decision to make. Well, whatever it is, we're going to sing a song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And you have a decision to make it as we stand and sing. Please stand with me.